Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Friends, I'm so excited about the message that I'm going to preach today. But before we dive into it, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word. I pray that as we journey through the book of Ephesians, that you speak to us individually and corporately. Transform us by the power of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Please help me open your Bibles and let's turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to read chapters 2 and 3 together. I'll be reading from the NIV. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with confidence and ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Paul then closes with a beautiful prayer from verse 14 to 21 that I will read as we come to the end of the message today. These two chapters are a beautiful portion of scripture, so full of truth. So let's dive into it. We understood last week that Paul was writing to the Christians in Ephesus. And Paul is like a doctor when he launches off in chapter 2. He starts with a spiritual diagnosis of their lives before they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And friends, Paul starts with some not so good news. And that brings me to my first point. Paul says to them, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins." He wrote to them saying, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Paul describes their lives before Jesus Christ as dead in your transgressions and sins. This is a grim picture that Paul painted so that they could understand how hopeless their lives were without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Can I say this to you, my friend? Without Jesus Christ, you are dead in your transgressions and in your sins. Without Jesus Christ, you are hopeless. When we talk about something that's dead, we're talking about something that has no life, that does not have the capacity to respond. And so when Paul says that you are dead in your transgressions and sins, Paul is literally saying that you are spiritually disconnected or separated from God, and you cannot respond to His love for you because you are blinded, consumed, and trapped by a life of sin. Sin is anything that does not please God. In other words, sin is rebellion to God. And Paul writes to the Ephesians and lets them know that they were dead in their transgressions, dead in their sins, because number one, they followed the ways of the world. The ways of the world are in direct rebellion to the ways of Jesus Christ. The ways of the world include pride, telling lies, murder, adultery, greed, corruption, even not following traffic rules. And this is what characterized their way of life. They rejected the way of Christ. He said they were dead in their sins and in their transgressions because they followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. In other words, Paul was saying to them that they were under spiritual bondage of Satan and his demons. Satan is the spirit of rebellion that is at work in the lives of people who disobey God. Wherever you see disobedience to God, you know that Satan is at work. That is why sometimes when we try to break free of a sinful habit or lifestyle, it is a real battle. Because you're not just dealing with a habit, you're dealing with a spirit. And the spiritual forces that are at work in the lives of people, keeping them bound to a life of sin. Paul continued to tell them that they were dead in their transgressions and sins because they gratified the cravings of the flesh, following its desires and thoughts. In other words, they did as they pleased and lived to fulfill whatever desire they had. Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 5 and gives us an example of what the cravings of the flesh are: sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, drunkenness, orgies. And friends, Paul is literally saying to us here that when we give ourselves to live for every kind of desire that we have, every desire in the flesh, he says that we are dead in our sins and in our transgressions. We've rejected the way of God. And when I read that portion of scripture, it is so clear to me that we are hopeless without Christ. We cannot help. We cannot save ourselves. So that's why he closes verse 3 by saying, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Because he acknowledges they lived that life before they came to Christ. And when we live a life of sin, a life of rebellion to God, we are deserving of God's wrath because all sin must be punished. Friends, that's why hell exists. Hell is that place where Satan, his demons, and everyone that rejects Jesus, everyone that lives in rebellion to God, that's the place where they will spend eternity separated from God. It is a place of weeping, of pain, of torture. Why? Because we rejected Jesus and his ways. And that's the bad news, my friend. The bad news is that you'll be separated from God forever. But boy, am I glad that we don't just stop at the bad news. I love good news. And there is good news, my friend, which leads me to my second point. Not only were we dead in our sins and in our transgressions, by the grace of God, we are made alive in Christ. And that is why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, but because of his great love for us, because of God's great love for us, our God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Wow. That's the good news, my friend. God loves you. Yes, I'll say it again. God loves you. He doesn't want you to remain dead in your sin and in your transgressions. God doesn't want you to live separated from him another day of your life. What you need to do, my friend, is to turn to Jesus Christ today and ask him to show you this mercy and forgive you of your sin. Now you might ask, why turn to Jesus, Brian? See, a perfect sacrifice was needed for sin to be forgiven. Jesus, who was perfect and sinless, satisfied all of God's righteous requirements for life. And so he became that perfect sacrifice, one like us, a man like us, perfect and sinless, and he died in our place. Jesus suffered the wrath and the punishment that you and I deserve. And he took it on himself because he loves you, my friend. You don't have to experience God's wrath for your sin, my friend. Simply put your faith in Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. And listen, immediately he will forgive you. But also in that very moment, you'll be saved from the wrath of God. Verse 8 and verse 9 of Ephesians 2 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That is good news, my friend. You don't have to perform. You don't have to work to deserve God's forgiveness. God extends his grace to you, my friend. Grace, listen, is you receiving what you don't deserve. What you and I deserve is punishment for our sin. But Jesus has taken that upon himself and he extends mercy to us. He extends forgiveness to us. Listen, it is only by his grace that God turns wrath-deserving sinners into forgiven children of God. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive eternal life. Suddenly, you are no longer dead in your transgressions. You are now made alive in Christ. You now have the Son, which means you now have life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. Listen, we only truly begin to live life when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. It is Paul that said everything that he had accomplished, everything he had become before he met Jesus Christ, he counted it as loss. He counted it as garbage. When he met Christ, he began to truly live. There was meaning to his life. There was purpose to his life. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Surrender your life to Jesus. Find life in Christ. Be made alive with Christ today, my friend. And that's the beauty of the gospel. We who were enemies of God are now reunited and reconciled to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as a result, we begin to turn away from a life of sin because God has transformed our lives. We begin to walk in obedience to him. Paul calls that life of obedience good works. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What God has always wanted in the beginning for you, my friend, is that you live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. You see, these good works are a life of obedience that demonstrates that we truly love Jesus. We do these good works because we do not want to take the grace of God for granted. We do these good works because we want to live our lives every day as a thank you for the grace and mercy that we have received from God through Christ Jesus. Why? Because we were dead in our sins. We've now been made alive with Christ, reunited and reconciled with God. It's incredible. That's why the gospel is good news. But not only are we reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we are then reconciled to one another, which is my third point, my friend, today. We are reconciled to one another in Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 11 to 13, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time, when you were dead in your transgressions and sins, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Because at that time, the covenant was with the nation of Israel. You were without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Now, for us to understand verse 11 properly, we've got to recognize that some of the Christians at Ephesus were Jews and others were Gentiles. Paul recognizes that their historical differences are a serious issue that threatened the unity of the body of Christ at Ephesus. Paul was a Jew himself. He was called by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to Gentiles. And as a result, many Gentiles believed. Now, in the beginning, when the church was young and still growing, there was confusion among the Jewish Christians concerning how to relate with Gentile Christians in the body of Christ. The Jewish Christians demanded that the Gentile Christians adopt some of the Jewish patterns of life to be truly saved. But later it was sorted by the leaders in the body of Christ that this was unnecessary. And that's why you have the difference between the circumcision and the uncircumcised. Circumcision was the evidence of the covenant in Genesis 17 that God makes with Abraham. That is how they were to stand out from the other peoples of the world. But Paul is now preaching a new message, and he's saying, by the grace of God, Gentiles too can receive Jesus Christ. And like we learned in chapter 1, they're adopted into the family of God. Now the Jews are struggling because they thought salvation was only for the Jews. And that's why we read in verse 12 and 13 when Paul says, remember, at that time before you came to Christ, you were excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We are now part of the family of God. Praise God. All this possible because of the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. And then we are adopted into the family of God. And Paul continues to say in verse 14 to 16 of Ephesians 2, "For he, Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made the two groups one, the Gentiles and the Jews are now one. And he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with all its commands and regulations." In other words, he fulfilled all of God's demands. He's dying on the cross now and is destroying every barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. His purpose by doing this was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Wow. Paul reminds them here that Jesus is our peace. Peace here, meaning that whatever walls or barriers, whatever issues that brought hostility or separation between the Jews and the rest of the people on the earth, those were now destroyed by Jesus Christ at the cross. His death at Calvary not only brought peace between God and man, it brought peace between man and man. And can I just say at this point, my friend, that there is no lasting peace outside of Jesus. Only Jesus can heal our hearts from the walls and the barriers of hostility that stand between us. You see, it is the desire of Jesus Christ that we are one in the body of Christ. This is what he prayed in John chapter 17. He said, "God, Father, may they be one, just as you and I are one." Listen, friends, it's never about any individual. It will always be about Jesus. So let us quit our own little agendas and purpose to serve one agenda, bringing glory to Jesus by making him the center of everything we say and do in the body of Christ. And so Jesus, who is our peace, reconciled us to one another into what Paul now calls one new humanity. One body, Jesus called it the church. Ephesians 2:17-20. He came and he preached peace to you who were far, in other words, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We're now part of the family of God. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Isn't this amazing? I think it's incredibly beautiful. Listen, it doesn't matter what nation you are from right now as you're watching, whether you're from the US, whether you're from Nigeria, whether you're in Dubai, wherever you're from, whether you're in the northern part of Uganda, south, east, west, central. Listen, we are one in Christ. The church is the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We are no longer foreigners and strangers. We are all members of the household of God. And that's why at Watoto we love to say we are family. In fact, you need to type right now in the comment section and just let another friend know who is from a different tribe or from a different country. Tell them, you are my brother, you are my sister. Why? We are one in Christ. We are not only made alive in Christ, we are made one in Christ. And this is what confused the Jews. It was like a mystery. Something they found very hard to understand because they saw themselves as God's special people. Now, why are the Gentiles coming into the picture? However, Paul tells them that what looked like a mystery is no longer a mystery. Jesus died for all people, and that whoever hears the gospel and believes in Jesus Christ becomes part of the people of God. And that is why, as we carry on into chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says this mystery, the mystery that he was given by the grace of God, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, helped to understand this by Jesus Christ. This was what he was called to preach. He says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. Wow. Heirs together with Israel. We are blessed together with God's people. Members of one body, reconciled to each other, united in Christ. Share us together in the promise in Jesus Christ, the promise of salvation. Wow. This is what we've seen so far. Without Christ, we are dead in our transgressions and sins, deserving of God's wrath. However, God, in his great love for us, offered Jesus Christ, in whom we find forgiveness for our sin and God's free gift of salvation. This is how we are reconciled to God, my friend. And then we are made alive with Christ when we put our faith in him. But not only are we reconciled to God through Jesus Christ when we put our faith in Jesus, he reconciles us to one another, forming one new humanity, the body of Christ called the church. This is the grace of God at work that destroys every wall of hostility and unites us as God's people. We are now heirs, members, and sharers together in Christ. As we begin to land the plane on this message today, my friend, there's just one more thing I want to share with you that Paul writes that I believe is very important for you. In Ephesians 3:7-9, Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration, the outworking of this ministry. Of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Listen, Paul recognized that he was saved by the grace of God and called to preach the good news to Gentiles. Can I give you a charge, my friend? You are not saved just for you to go to heaven. And yes, you will go to heaven by the grace of God. But you are called to also preach the gospel to everyone around you. God, by his grace, has chosen you. If you've given your heart to Jesus, to go and preach the gospel to those who are far from God. Every Christian watching this, listen, you have been called to share the gospel with everyone that doesn't know Jesus. And I want us to close with that beautiful prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, for this reason I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God, the first and ultimate Father. May He grant you, out of the riches of His glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through His Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of His love, fully experiencing that amazing endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your entire being to the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. Now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all of God's people say together, amen, amen. Type amen in the comment section right there and let us give glory to God. Listen, my friend. God loves you. And my prayer is that today that you will understand the love that God has for you. You might be watching this and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. Your life is a mess. You're living in sin. I want to encourage you, give your heart to Jesus today. You don't have to perform to be good in order to be saved. Come to Jesus just the way you are. Give your heart to Jesus. If that's you, and maybe you're saying, Brian, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. This is what I would like you to do. I want you to pray this prayer after me and mean every word from the bottom of your heart. But I would also like you to click the button that you see right there, the link that is in your screen, and let us know that you're recommitting or you're giving your heart to Jesus Christ for the first time. We want to connect with you and help you in this journey. Will you pray this prayer after me and commit your life to Jesus? Let's pray together, everyone saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. I now receive you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day, I believe that I am born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. It is amazing what God has begun in your life. We're praying the very best for you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@fortodochurch.com.